last few weeks we've talked about baptism. We've kind of gotten off course going through Corinthians. And we've talked about baptism because that was one of the issues that was brought up, that Paul brought up, about those in Corinthians were saying, well, I was baptized by Paul, and I was baptized by John, and I was baptized by... just making a lot out of the person that was carrying the message instead of a lot out of Christ and the gospel. And so Paul was touching that there was an issue because there were so many instructors that were teaching, and they were teaching wrongly. Even after Paul had been there for a while training and teaching this revelation of the mystery, and even though this church was being edified by others through this period, so Paul had written this letter and was dealing with that. And we're going to finish today on the topic of baptism, and we'll go back to Corinthians after that, but I think there's some things that I left out last week that are very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, go to verse 11. I appreciate Mark and what he shared this morning, and it just in the last couple of weeks on Wednesday nights, we've been in Romans chapter 13. Well, y'all going to 1 Corinthians right now. And I think over the next few weeks, I may touch on a little bit of what we've been teaching on Wednesday nights because I think it's extremely important for this body of believers. The more I hear things that will come up, I just think it would be very healthy. I'd love for y'all if y'all can be here on Wednesday night for what we're going through, because I'm telling you, as I study through Romans, I am growing so much and learning so much of things that I've just never seen, that I've read before, but it's never until I started studying and rightly dividing. I just feel like there are things that I'm getting, and it excites me. It's not that I know any more than anybody else, but it's just what I'm learning. And I want you to know it, because I feel like it's changed some of the ways that I even act or live with my relationship with Christ, because there's some things that we have direction on how to be. So I may touch on it the next couple of Sundays, things dealing with those who lean on their own understanding, those who are opposing themselves and don't even know it. There are some big issues, and I have found, as I study this, it's so clear to see that there are churches that are buildings that are flooded with people today that don't even realize what's going on, and it's because they're not in their Word, and they're listening to man, and they don't read their Word through the week. And so what happens a lot of times is by what somebody says and by what they think, without using the truth, they start leaning on their own understanding. And so they mix up Scriptures because they don't rightly divide the Scriptures to know where they're at in the Scriptures. And the next thing you know that happens, without them knowing it, they oppose themselves. And that's what 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about if you get past 15 and 16 and you go on down to verse 24 and 25. And I think that is a major issue today, even with grace believers, is that we fail to study our Word and make it the most important thing. And when you do that, you're going to lean on your own understanding, because if you don't know the Word, there's no other understanding you can lean on. And therefore, we become a body of believers that are not of the same mind. There's no way we can minister and be effective. And so I challenge you, study Romans 12, 13, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It really comes together well for me, as I see some things in areas of my life where I would lean on my own understanding because I wasn't studying the Word. And it's very important. I think it's extremely so. It's a good Bible study to really put us where we need to be. And that's why I say that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." As I read that, we talked about in Bible study being a stumbling block. Here's a perfect example of the opposite, isn't it? If we're going to not preach Christ crucified so we don't become a stumbling block to anybody? No. We preach Christ crucified, and it causes the Jews to be a stumbling block. So there's different areas that we need to look at that word as a stumbling block. But now last week we looked at different baptisms. We looked at John's baptism. We also looked at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We also in Matthew 3 saw there was the baptism of fire. Now at this point in the baptism of fire, we know that's where they will be purging believing and unbelieving Israel. Those who make it through the wrath will be believers, and they will endure unto the end. And all of Israel at that time will be righteous. And so it was a baptism for Israel. And so there are many baptisms that we touched on last week. You also have the Holy Spirit's baptism. That's what we know as the believer's baptism today in this dispensation. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Word of God says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now this is the baptism where the Holy Spirit baptizes you in Christ. You remember what we talked about last week when Christ in Matthew chapter 3, when John talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and in Acts chapter 2, and we'll look at that real quick, but the issue where Jesus would baptize you into the Holy Ghost. But in the baptism today that we have, the one baptism, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. So these are two different programs and two different baptisms, aren't they? And we need to see that. They're not the same. A lot of people today will believe they're an Acts 2 church, that the body of Christ started in Acts 2, and that baptism was a different baptism than the one we have today. By the way, they're both dry. One's baptism for remission, and then you receive the Holy Ghost. One is baptism by the Holy Spirit in Christ. We need to understand that things that are different can't be the same. For the dispensation of the day, it's the Holy Spirit baptizing you into Christ. Now remember, we talked about Acts 2. Jesus was the baptizer giving them the Holy Ghost. This way they continue their works and their manifestation. The one today has the Holy Spirit baptizing you into Christ. Ephesians 4:3, turn there real quick. And hopefully by the end of the day we know the difference in the baptisms, at least most of them, and we understand what is for today, and the others are as true as any other, but not for today. In Ephesians 4:3, the Word of God says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism." I don't think that says one baptism of this kind and then there's some others. It says one baptism and it stops. So how many baptisms are there today? There's one. Only one. If you believe there are others for today, you will deceive and it'll be a lie. And today there are churches all along the area that believe in more than one baptism, and they're deceiving believers. And they're deceiving unbelievers. It can't be any two ways. I used to tread real lightly on this and would try to okay it because I had a lot of friends and relatives and people that I love that would continue to go through baptism. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. There's a way I need to be gentle and tender-hearted and kind, but I need to show the truth or I'm not showing love. There's a way to do things rightly. And so there is one baptism today. Paul's epistles are a waste of our time. And we need to be clear on that. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. And we know it's Hebrews, so clearly it's probably written to Hebrew people. Kind of makes sense. Hebrews 6:1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Look at the first part of verse 2. Of the doctrine of what? One baptism? No, baptisms. It's plural. So it's clear there are two different programs. It's clear that there are other baptisms, but there's only one for today, and it's clear Israel had more than one. We can establish that by looking at the scriptures. It was back to Israel's program here. Now I want you to look at the example at what was coming and why Israel had these different baptisms and why we have one baptism. In Acts chapter 2, go to verse 37. I hope you turn here and mark these because look, this is a big thing that you will have to defend if you get in a conversation with other people, with other denominations, because they all do it differently. But yet, they believe in a lot of different baptisms. baptisms. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, what they hear, they know that Peter had preached, "You just crucified your Messiah." Peter preached a murder indictment to those of Israel. And so it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" What do we do now that we've done this? They were pricked. They wanted to know. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Back up a little bit to Acts 1:5. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So who was doing the baptizing? Jesus Christ was, wasn't he? And in Acts 2, that's exactly what was going on. And had all of Israel believed, what would have happened? There would have been a kingdom set up, wasn't there? And it didn't happen. And so there we see this baptism was with water. Now, back up to Matthew chapter 20 and look at verse 20. "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, 'What wilt thou?' She saith unto him, 'Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?'" Well, here's another baptism with Israel. And here's another baptism. It says, "They say unto him, 'We are able.' He saith unto them, 'Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father.' And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren." So here's an issue of another baptism that was being asked. Go to Mark chapter 10 and look at verse 35. A similar account, except the mother of Zebedee is not asking. Instead, it's her two sons who are James and John. Matthew 10:35 says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, 'Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire.' And he said unto them, 'What would ye that I should do for you?' They said unto him, 'Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy glory.'" Verse 38, "But Jesus said unto them, 'Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, and that I drink of?' And they said unto him, 'We can.' And Jesus said unto them, 'Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." So we see a couple of different accounts with the same question. But the issue is a baptism that Jesus is going to be baptized with. This baptism was the baptism of what? Of his death. They didn't even know what they were asking. They did not realize the things they were asking. But their issue was they wanted to sit on the right and left hand, and it wasn't up to Jesus. It was up to the Father. So many today say they want to be baptized in the same way as Jesus. Do you ever hear that? You ever seen that in other churches or other buildings or other places of congregations where they say, "Well, we need to be baptized the way Jesus was"? They don't even understand the way that Jesus was baptized. When they are told that, they think that they need to be baptized with water. And that wasn't the only way Jesus was baptized. Or you might say, "Well, it was good enough for Jesus. He was baptized with a death, by the way." Then some will say they are baptized for the remission of sins today. Was Jesus baptized for the remission of sins? No, he wasn't. So you can't be baptized for the same reason that Jesus was baptized. He was baptized with water, but not for the same reasons that are given wrongly for today. Jesus was baptized with water, but not for the remission of sins. And today in churches, all over the place, you have people say that we want to be baptized the way Jesus was, thinking of water. I'm sorry, his water baptism was much different than the remission of sins. And then you have a lot of people today say, "Well, we want to be baptized in obedience the way that Jesus was baptized." By the way, the baptism that he had was a baptism of death. So they can't do either. Matthew chapter 3. Are y'all following me so far? I know I'm saying baptism 160,000 times. I want you to see the churches today and the congregations today that are filled, that are oohing and aahing, and you'll see on Facebook where they baptized 500 or 300 or 200, and they think they were baptized the way that Jesus was, or they think that they're following this thing that exactly what Israel did for the remissions of sins, when neither. They were well done in the past, and they were necessity. They weren't today, because there's one baptism. But in Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee." Now I want you to catch this. I hope you're here. Look how Jesus was baptized with water. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now a lot of people will take you right there and say, see, I told you, just like Jesus. Matthew 3:14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When people are baptized today in water, and they say they're baptized the way Jesus was, are they being baptized to fulfill all righteousness? Absolutely not. So they can say that, but they're wrong. It's to fulfill all righteousness. Now let's carry on. Same place. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. I've yet to see this in other congregations, and I've been seeing a lot of them. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So if we're going to be baptized the way Jesus was, does this not need to be the same situation? Go to John 1:19. Verse 19, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then? If thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now get this. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. The same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now do you see where we were at in Acts 1:5, where they want to know about this baptism? Because it was known they were going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and John makes account of it here in the book of John. But more importantly, we can see here why Christ was baptized with water. It was to fulfill all righteousness. To identify, here's the Messiah. The manifest, here's the Messiah to Israel. That's why Jesus was baptized with water. There were things that John was told to look for. The Spirit was to descend upon him. We also see the manifest Christ to Israel. And so when Jesus was baptized with water, it fulfilled righteousness. It was to fulfill all righteousness. If God said something, in other words, you can count on it. And God said, this is what's going to happen. And so Jesus was baptized with water. And it was going to happen. When Israel was water baptized, it wasn't because of the same reason. So you can't go back and say, well, Jesus did it. Israel was baptized for a totally different reason. It was for the remission of sin. And so it was two different baptisms, even with Christ and with Israel. But people today put it all together. Nor is it today, but churches will say so. Because most don't even know these scriptures. You know why? They lean on their own understanding that they've gotten from other people. Go with me to Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. I think it's interesting here because in the Old Testament, when one became a priest, you know where he was at?
at about 30 years of age.
King David began to rule at what?
At about 30 years of age. I just think those are a couple of interesting things.
But another thought to fulfill all righteousness that I thought of is they would always, in the Old Testament, wash the sacrifice with water. And of course, Christ was the perfect sacrifice, was he not? And so to fulfill all righteousness, Christ had to be baptized with water also. So we would all agree that Israel was not baptized for the same reason as Jesus, wouldn't we? Was Israel baptized for this reason? Absolutely not. So they weren't the same. In 1 Corinthians 10:1, the Word of God says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So here's another baptism. Did Israel get wet here? Not at all. When they crossed the Red Sea, were they wet? Absolutely not. If baptism is immersion, then isn't the Egyptians the one who were baptized? So here's another dry baptism. There are many baptisms in the Word of God. But for this dispensation today, there is one. We can see here that a lot of baptisms are dry. So from this, we can see that there are many baptisms in the Word. And they're all right. Every one of them are right. But we should also understand who they are for and what they are for. Jesus' baptism was for a totally different reason than Israel's baptism. Why in the world don't we take the time to know the truth is my question. Because we lean on our own understanding, or it's not worth getting in the argument to show somebody the truth. And so we say, well, that's just how they do things. It's not good enough. It's living a lie. Instead, we waste our time and just mix and deceive. There are some that we have no part of when it comes to baptism, but are meant for Christ and for Israel and no other. So what do? We got to teach out of love. But we can't be a body of believers that okay something that isn't okay. And so I finally came to a point as I studied going through Corinthians, I ended up on baptism. To where when that door opens to share the truth, that's what we need to do. And if you didn't mark the scriptures here today, and you don't study it for yourself at home or anyplace else, you can't defend it. So a lot of times we just stay quiet. Would that be a deceiving thing to do? Absolutely. To not share the truth is the worst thing that we could do. Share the truth. Why did I pick on baptism? Only because it's probably the biggest thing that we see in this area that goes on today. That people think they're being baptized as Christ was baptized, or they think they're being baptized for remission of sin. So the best thing I think you could ask is when somebody says, "Hey, we baptized 500, why don't you just ask the question, why? Just ask the question, why? Start the conversation. Have a way to be a minister of what? Reconciliation. Amen? There's things we ought to do as a body of believers, and you can't do it if you're leaning on other people's understanding and you're not in the Word. Because I'm going to tell you what, I never knew so much of baptism until I started studying it. I guess it goes back to studying. Why wouldn't you want your friends and your family to know the truth? Scared? What's it worth? There's a lot of questions we can ask, and we all know that. I struggle with this. But you know, it comes to a point in time people need to know the truth. You may make friends, you may make enemies, but you need to share love. And to share love is to share the truth.